welcome to another episode of Central Coast Uncorked. I am Shanice, your ever-present host.
And I'm Jamie, the other one, just mocking the ever-present host. She was just fixing her hair to get ready for our audio recording. Like, I'm not even joking. She's like, wait, hold on. And, like, fixing her hair. And I'm like, because what? Your hair is going to sound weird?
It might. It might be really staticky and frizzy if I didn't fix it before we started. But anyway, the point is not about my hair.
The point is she's ready for you.
The point is I'm ready. I'm ready to record this next episode. We just pulled up to
Locatelli?
I don't know. We don't know how to pronounce anything,
We really don't.
Yeah, we were way off with Lavinia.
Also have never heard of this place.
Me either, but they had a real nice gate.
They did. I mean, it's beautiful. The views, like, we're sitting here in the car, like, looking out at a vineyard and then, like, past that, the freeway, and it's beautiful. It's a little bit cloudy.
Right now is just a beautiful time in this part of California because
look at the little doggy.
We get real distracted real easily. Anyway, this time of year in California is usually pretty beautiful because we've had at least a little bit of rain, and this year we've had a lot of rain. Have no idea what that means for this year's vintage, but it makes the views right now as we're tasting super duper great. Everything is green and pretty and lush.
And this dog is so excited, and it's so cute. I'm sorry. That's the best part for me. Oh, it's so cute.
Well, yes. If you like dogs, you should definitely come out here because
they have a real cute one.
They have a dog.
Anyways, yeah, I don't know anything about this place. I may have driven by once, but I'm not even certain of that. So I'm excited to try it.
Yeah, so am I. We have been banging out some episodes today. So this is actually our third stop, technically.
3.5.
But we also stopped somewhere else in between here and there. We might not ever take you guys there because it wasn't great.
Yeah, it was.
We won't say their name, but we will tell you that Nigel from So You Think We Can Dance
is a part owner.
Yeah.
The wine, like, I've had their wine, and I think their wines are decent, and some of them are very good, but, like, horrible service today. Real bad.
Yeah, I was not impressed by the wines. Like, there was definitely, like, the Sauvignon. Anyway, that's not why we're here.
We're not here.
We're here to talk about Locatelli.
Yes.
We'll do a thumbs down review on other wineries another day.
The dog's excited to see me.
The dog's excited, so we gotta get out.
We're gonna go taste some wine.
We'll catch up with you later. All right, we are ready and live to go.
All right, so what we do here, we mostly focus on reds. All of the wine that I have for you today is estate grown. We even have our own bottling line, so everything is 100% handcrafted by us. We do everything from the cork to the label. Depending on the time of year, sometimes we do bring other grapes in as well. So I'm running low on a lot of stuff at the moment, but we are bottling. So we'll have a bunch of new releases coming out this summer.
Cool.
Mostly specialize in Bordeaux. On the property, we grow Cab Sauv, Cab Franc, Malbec, Merlot, Petit Syrah, Petit Verdot, and a little bit of Zinfandel.
It's a lot of wine.
We have 40 acres of under vine. And although we specialize in reds, I can start you off with an estate rosé if you'd like to start.
Yeah, sure. That'd be great. Thank you.
We are sold out at the moment, but I traditionally have a Chardonnay and also a Muscat Canelli to offer in whites.
Ooh.
Down to rosé and reds at the moment.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah. How long have you guys been out here?
Louis and Reinette purchased the property in 1996, so that's when our grapes were planted.
Okay.
40 acres under vine.
I love the bottle.
And our tasting room opened up in about 2004. Mostly as a mom and pop shop, we specialize a lot in production. So we do bottling, we bottle all of our stuff, we bottle for other folks. And we also do custom crush as well. We make wine for other people. We have other winemakers come in and use our facility to make their wine. So just about anything wine related.
Cool. And it's Locatelli?
Locatelli. Yeah.
Locatelli.
Family name, rich in tradition, or I think slang Spanish for crazy hotel. So this is our 2017 Estate Rosé. It is a blend of Zinfandel and Malbec. A little bit sweet on the
nose. It's an unusual rosé.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it is dry and a little higher in alcohol. It's 14%, so it's a little high in rosé.
It's nice.
I don't taste it, but...
Yeah. So it's nice, the dangerous kind.
Yeah. Very small batch. We only made about 30 cases of it.
Oh, wow. That is small.
Yeah. If nobody shows up, I mean, we do full production in this building, so I can show you around.
And... Oh, cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Pretty laid back here. We don't do up a lot of outside advertising. So.
Yeah. I have actually never... heard of you guys.
Yeah.
So I was super stoked to come somewhere new.
Me too.
Part of that for me is the tasting room manager is honestly good. you know, our tasting room immediately isn't getting any bigger, so our growth has constituted mostly of wine club and referrals.
I love that though. Like, I feel like when I've never heard of, like, we've both lived here our entire lives. So for both of us to have, like, never heard of a place, like, it's like a secret.
Heck yeah.
And then it's, like, exciting to be a part of it and be able to tell my clients about it and just, I think it's great.
Awesome. Well, we certainly love it. And, you know, no buses or anything.
I like that sweatshirt, too. It's the same design as is on the bottle.
I like that,
it's a pretty color.
Yeah, small mom and pop shop. Most of the days, it's just me, the winemaker, and his wife. And then with the custom crush and modeling and stuff, we stay pretty darn busy. So
yeah.
We either do the tasting room and the wine club and the social media and all that stuff. So this is our 2014 Estate Petit Verdot.
Oh, that's probably really good.
Petit Verdot I've had in Paso.
Yeah, I must say, like, I was just really surprised to see a Petit Verdot to start with.
Absolutely.
I was like, okay.
This is actually...
I'll go with it.
One of the first ones that I tried out of the barrel working here. And it was a hot summer day, and we were actually doing... Louis was outside doing a barrel tasting. And he's like, you know, hey, you want some Petit Verdot? I'm like, it's like 90.
You're like, do I want to be asleep in 45 minutes?
It was pretty darn good.
That is delicious.
Low in alcohol, it's 13.2. Stubborn grape, it's always the last one we're harvesting here. So usually about Halloween, sometimes even a little bit later.
What would make that stubborn? Like, what about it is...
sugar levels to rise in.
Oh, okay.
So, Petit Verdot means a little green in French, mm-hmm. and over in Europe, it doesn't get warm enough for them to ripen this particular mm-hmm. grape. So, it was traditionally used in blending.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's hot here on the Central Coast, so it's starting to see more often as a single variety. So, most commonly, when it's unripe, you're going to get a lot of green bell pepper, but it is hot here.
It's very good.
Yeah. No, it's really nice.
So these prices are shockingly reasonable.
Yeah.
for what I've tasted so far, like, definitely. Is this the only place you can buy this? Because I don't recall seeing the label. That doesn't mean I haven't seen it, but, like...
We do very, very light distribution. In fact, our most popular wine right now is our Wild Cellars Winemaker's Blend. And that one you can find at Albertsons. We do very little distribution of it. We make one every year. We're bottling some more next week. It's traditionally all estate fruit. The last one was actually a blend of everything that we grew on the property. It kind of encompasses everything. It's typically fruity, earthy, light, but still with a little bit of backbone. And it's under $100 a case for our wine club. It's about $8 a bottle.
That's crazy.
And I haven't found a better $8 bottle in Paso.
Yeah.
That's hard to come by.
So this is our 2014 Estate Zinfandel. This one actually hasn't even been officially released yet. We're releasing this one for Zinfest, but I do have it available since I'm running low on just about everything. pretty low intensity for a Zin. A lot of baking spices in there. A little bit lower in alcohol than most Zinfandels. It's under 15%. Zinfandel's traditionally high in alcohol. It's a thin-skinned grape. And the Zins are different from east side to west side.
They really are.
Be a lot more spicy. And on the west side, a lot more fruity and jammy just due to the terroir and weather.
So, like, what grape... I'm not familiar at all with the wine in this area.
Okay.
well, in this side of town. Mm-hmm. What grape grows best? Like, what, where does it peak?
On the east side.
Yeah.
Or, like, in San Miguel.
Like, yeah, because, like, I think, when I think of east side, I think, like, 46 East, mm-hmm. not, like, San Miguel. So.
Well, traditionally, I mean, we do have the hills, so, like, similar terroir to 46 East. I would say Malbec and Petit Syrah would be our flagships on this side. The way the Paso is situated, so we have two different soil types, and it's actually the 101 we traditionally use as a divider, but it, for two reasons. One, the soil composition. So on the west side, they have a lot of limestone, calcareous, mm-hmm. very rocky soil.
Yeah.
On this side, it's mostly clay and loam from the Salinas River.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, last week was a very, very good example of the marine layer. The marine layer typically comes in at about the 101. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
On the east side, we still get the coastal influence, but on the west side, they'll actually have enough moisture in the air where they can dry farm.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of water on that side, so it works out very well for them. On the east side, it'll cool down at night, but it's hotter during the day. For those reasons, we mostly do Bordeaux on this side. So the last one was our 2014 Estate Cab Sauvignon.
It was very,
very
nice.
Light for a cab, but mm-hmm. complex. Earthy characteristics up front, bright fruit mouthfeel, kind of a stone finish to it. So
yeah, I liked it a lot.
We just bottled our 2015 yesterday, so it is in bottle shock, but you're more than welcome. Mm. And if you want, you can try it next to each other. They're quite a bit different.
Yeah, sure, sure, yeah. And then a new question I've kind of been asking is, can you tell us about, like, the farming practices of the vineyard?
I can a little bit. We do have a field manager.
Okay.
So, I mean, it really, the past few years, I mean, the weather's been quite a bit different mm-hmm. for each year.
It's been insane.
But global warming isn't real, you guys. Climate change is fake.
It's changing every
kidding,
day.
Kidding.
We're not here to get political. Anyways, tell us about the grapes.
But
I just can't resist.
Well, what's kind of cool is that we keep a wine library. Mm-hmm. So I moved here in 2015, and I first started visiting the area in 13. So it's kind of interesting. Like, I've been to most of the wineries. At least the ones
that's
that,
an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Well, at
I like
least
it.
The ones
like
that
it.
Are open during the week.
Wow. Yeah.
So kind of, you know, industry.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
No, it's great. We're trying to get there.
Yeah, we're working on our industry.
You know, between the east side and west side, you can still taste quite a bit of difference from year to year. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I first came down in 13, most of the wineries had 2011s, mm-hmm. which is my personal favorite vintage of Paso. They're getting harder and harder to find. Mm-hmm. We only had about a third of the harvest that year because it was extremely cold. And not only that, it was a bad year for Napa, so they bought a lot of our grapes. So
they bought a lot of the grapes.
Yeah, and so 11s are absolutely wonderful, about a 90% buyer when I can find them. Now you start to go into 12 and 13. 13, I came and visited Paso, and it was about 100 degrees almost this time of year in March.
Yeah.
And we only got about 10 inches of rain that year. And to my knowledge, 12, we didn't get a ton of rain either. So
no,
it was
a dry year.
The drought.
That's my favorite year.
So 13s are a little bit more aggressive, especially for mouthfeel, because they're a little bit higher in acidity, a little higher in alcohol, typically. Mm-hmm. 14 ended up being a very stereotypical year. Not a whole lot of hot and cold spikes, but... got our average annual rainfall, so 14s are a pretty decent vintage for Paso. 15 was spectacular. We did get a night of rain in July.
That's crazy.
And I moved down from Portland, so I thought it was kind of hilarious.
We're freaking out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No rain. People don't know what to do here when it rains.
Yeah. Well, not that much, yeah.
Oh, man. All right, so I'll give you a little bit more of the 14 here.
Perfect. Try side by side.
Yeah.
Yeah, she loves 2012.
I do. 12 rocks my world. Mm-hmm. Like,
and I like 14s.
I like 14s, but like, I feel like if I think part of it too is like 12 is getting hard enough to find mm-hmm. that when I find it, I get like super excited. So it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the 12s that I've had...
Wow, the color.
Definitely a lot more of the earthy characteristics to them. Like, if you like drier wines, I think 12s...
Yeah, it was a great year. Yeah, I have crazy. A whole, like, secret stash of them in my wine... Like, my one of my wine fridges, like...
Oh, yeah.
And my husband knows, like, do not touch them.
Oh, yeah. When I asked you that one day, I was like, oh, can I go downstairs and get a wine? You're like, no.
Yeah. Like, so yesterday, Kurt was in charge of dinner, and I forgot, like, we were using some meal, like, an e-meals recipe, mm-hmm. and it was brisket done in the crock pot, which, not worth it, but...
I love brisket.
I do, too, but not a crock pot. So it called for, like, a half a cup of wine. Mm-hmm. And Kurt had asked me the night before, like, what wine can I use? And I forgot to leave a bottle out. So I come home, and I'm like, oh, he's like, yeah. I'm like, what wine did you end up using? Straight-faced, a Chloe. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, I'm kidding. I used a Doucy. And it was so, I was like, he's like, I know better. I would never. It was so funny. I was like, mm-hmm. hey. If you wanna,
if he wanna walk this, but he I was wants like, to walk that line.
For sure. That's why, like, so I have an upstairs wine fridge, which is almost all drinkable, and then I have a downstairs wine fridge, which is like we took the shelves out and just like jammed it full and duct taped it shut. And I honestly, like, I'm not even sure I know what's in there.
Oh yeah.
But I know I don't want to drink it yet.
Yeah, I know if the zombie apocalypse comes, I'm right? going to be out of food in a couple days, and I'm going to have a ton of right? wine.
Yeah. My husband, like, when we were first married, we're in the garage, and so he has, like, his garage is his safe place, right? Like, we've got a car that doesn't have wheels, and I don't know, all kinds of stuff. And he's, like, looking
around. I'm working my way there.
He's like, you know, I never thought the most valuable thing in my garage would be wine. I'm gonna get it.
Yeah. Kind of true. Yeah, so the 15, quite a bit more bold. But, mm-hmm. Again, it was just bottled yesterday, so definitely in bottle shock. But
so, what exactly does like bottle shock mean?
To bottle a wine, it's gonna have to pass through a pump, mm-hmm. and you're also going to pressurize it, which I can actually show you guys. But because of those, what happens is. It basically kind of beats the wine up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So typically what happens in a single variety is it's going to taste muted. It won't really open up.
It's still pretty good.
Yeah.
It's still pretty good.
Like, I feel like it's going to be really good. Yeah. If it's this good now.
But yeah, it's kind of interesting because most often, like, single varieties, they'll taste muted if they're in bottle shock. Mm-hmm. And they'll go through bottle shock, you know, anywhere from a month to 6 months.
Okay. Depending, that was my next question.
depending on how much tannins are in there. Like, if you're doing unfiltered, it's going to go through bottle shock probably a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. All of our wines are filtered, though. So we do a two-stage filtration process. We go from 5 microns down to 3. So very consistent, high level of drinkability, high level of consistency. And you can never have every last drop in the bottle. You're not
those are
get any
both delicious.
Yeah, no, I both think they're delicious. Both good.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's funny because, like, I liked your explanation of bottle shock because I like to think of, like, wine as a living thing, right? So obviously, like, if it goes through a stressful process, yeah, there's going to be some implications from that. But I think sometimes people say, like, bottle shock to, like, address wine flaws, which is not the case. Like,
yeah, I've just never really been, like, 100% clear, like, what it is. So that was a great explanation. And then I had no idea how long it would last.
Yeah.
So that was very helpful.
It's different for different wines.
Yeah.
Whites traditionally won't have very high bottle shock, you know, pretty much almost ready to drink right out of the bottle as soon as it's bottled. But it depends. I mean, it depends especially on the viscosity of your wine, what pump you're putting it through, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, wine flaws, I mean, it's kind of, you know.
Like, I mean, I can
the Europeans
see it,
like Brettanomyces.
Oh, I do too.
I can't stand it.
Oh, really?
But, so it's like, you know, palettes. whatever you like. If you like it, drink it. If you mm-hmm. don't like it, you shouldn't drink it.
Yeah.
Well, that's why there's so many producers, right? Like, people like different things.
I definitely, like, okay, so I'm in my 30s. But I just, in the last, like, I'm in it. Like, I didn't turn 30.
Right, but I don't know how that applies to what you're going to say, okay, but keep going.
Well, if you let me finish my sentence, you would. So, now I'm like, I lost it. Okay. Anyways, I feel like only in the last year, I feel like so much of a grown-up because I've reached a place where, like, oh, this doesn't taste good. So instead of, like, forcing, like, drinking it because it's wine and I paid for it, I'm just like, dump. Like, I feel like such a grown-up when I don't drink wine that I don't like.
Or also not an alcoholic. Or a really,
have you had a really expensive corked bottle of wine?
I have.
Like, that's disheartening. Like,
but, you know, okay, so I did, and it was somewhere from Sandy Inez, and I told them, like, I called them, and I was like, I just want to let you guys know. I don't know how corked wines work, if it was just a bottle or, like, a whole thing, so I just wanted to, like, give you a heads up. And they sent me 2 bottles. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so kind. I was not expecting that. Like, I just really was thinking, like, if this is, like, a whole thing, you're going to have a lot of unhappy people, and I should warn you. And they sent me 2 bottles. They were super nice about it. They apologized, and I'm like, don't be sorry. Like, it's...
Well, it happens.
Like, yeah.
The industry average is typically about 1% to 2%. We bottle all of our own stuff here, so we have a remarkably low corkage. I've seen, you know, just a small handful since I've been here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like, I've seen people like, oh, you know, it's corked and still drink it. And it's like, you know.
Yeah, no, I definitely, but I feel like such a grown up. I'm like, oh, I'm so past drinking wine I don't like.
Don't put yourself through it. So this is our 2015 Estate Malbec. Obviously, it's the one you can bring to the party and everybody will drink.
Very approachable, very drinkable.
Definitely one of our staples here on the east side. I haven't found any bad Malbec on the east side, personally.
I like Malbec. I feel like it's a wine I forget about, but I always enjoy.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I think there's, like, different expressions of it as well. What kind of oak are you guys using on your... Or does it vary? Do you have, like, a combination?
It varies. I'll show you guys our barrel room, but we use a combination of French American, a little bit of Hungarian. We have some hybrid barrels, a little bit of stainless steel. We use a lot of neutral oak as well.
Yeah.
Our reds are typically in barrel 30 to 36 months.
Okay.
We typically use a combination, and that's what we use for blending. Mm-hmm. So Louis will actually, depending on how everything's turning out, he can blend at the end, depending on how many barrels of which he wants.
Yeah.
So it gives us some versatility.
On the cab, what do you know, like for the 2014, do you know what kind of oak?
It was finished in brand new American oak.
Okay. That was my guess, but I wanted to confirm.
Yeah, the way oak typically works, I would say, you know, as far as my palate goes, French is generally the softest. Mm-hmm. American being the more aggressive of the three. And Hungarian is in the middle, but I find that the flavor profile of Hungarian oak typically leads a little bit closer to the American, actually, than the French. Mm-hmm. The French just seems softer in all facets. But
I get spicier notes from American oak.
Yes, for sure.
Like your warmer mocha.
I can't say that I've paid enough attention to the oaks, other than I don't like the Chardonnay because it's too Chardonnay-y oaky.
Well, like our Chardonnay...
I'm very advanced in my palate.
So like the Chardonnay that Louis typically does, we'll do it in stainless steel, but we'll inoculate for malolactic. Mm-hmm. So for malolactic secondary fermentation, the wine will develop lactose. So... that's why they taste creamy. But if you put it in oak, that's when it gets buttery. So if you do it in stainless steel, you get the creamy without the butter.
I feel like since we've been doing this and I've been tasting wine that we've been trying to only go to new places for us. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my appreciation for Chardonnay has like grown because I do like Chardonnay. I just don't like
every person's interpretation on it.
Yeah, that's a much nicer way of saying what I was thinking. So we'll go with that.
Well, it's kind of weird because it's sort of split off into 2 camps.
Yeah.
You know, you got your stainless steel Chardonnay and your oak Chardonnay. And
yeah.
And the folks that were really Chardonnay fans, I don't think...
Very opinionated.
Typically, they don't turn to both of them necessarily.
For sure.
Especially with all the other white wines out there. You know, Albarino's gotten really popular.
I do like Albarino.
You know, they're... Like, I like Pinot Blanc. Mm. There's definitely Sauvignon Blancs all over the map.
Mm-hmm. You know, from, right? From that one, there's
lemon.
Yeah, it's a roll of the dice curd, what you're going to get. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, grassy grapefruit. I mean, you know, so, you know, and that's just, you know, one variety. Viognier become a lot more popular as well. Not one of my personal favorites. Me,
I only like Viognier because we have a friend who was very young. He was like, I don't know, 18 or 19, and he worked at a restaurant.
He had to be 18 because you can't serve alcohol if you're under 18. Okay.
So he had a couple come in, and they ordered a bottle of the Viognier. And he was like, you mean the Voigner? And they were like, no, the Viognier. And he's like, yeah, the Voigner. And they're like, well, this wine. And he's like, yeah, that's the Voigner. And very, like, if you, like, this guy, like, he says things with authority. So he, like, he said they kind of seemed like they were laughing at him. And he's like, whatever. And then, like, the next week, someone else came in and ordered a bottle of the Viognier. And he's like, oh, is that how you say it? They were like, yeah. So now Viognier to me, whether I like it or not, I like it because all I think is Voigner.
Yep.
Voigner.
That one's a little bit more passable, but like, man, like hearing Cab Franc is like nails on a chalkboard to me. Like,
oh man, quite little, frankly, yeah, that's awful.
Yeah. So this is our 2014 Melodia. This is one of my personal favorites out of our new releases. It's a 50-50 blend of Petite Syrah and Zinfandel. Has zero residual sugar, but it almost gives an impression of sweetness. Mm. So I get like some caramel apple up front. Has a very unique earthy finish to it. A little bit more on the jammy side, so super good movie wine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like Frank, I mean, it's kind of weird, like, moving to this area that, like, I mean, you know, we're right down the road from Santa Maria, and our barbecue game here is weak.
It really like, is. And then really, really
it's
is.
It's real disappointing. It's like, we have five food groups here. We have breakfast, pizza, Mexican food, burgers, and expensive.
Yeah. And the expensive sometimes expensive is lacking.
Expensive is farm to table, you know, but yeah. It's not, it doesn't mean it's good.
No. I agree. Like,
might not be good every time, but it's expensive every time.
Yeah. That should be a logo.
We're not good every time, but we're expensive.
That could be our logo. My dad's really into barbecuing, and the thing is, like,
I think he should open a stand.
He's gotten so good at it that now it's like, oh, I'll just have my dad make it.
Right? Like, well, his barbecue is great, but, like, I think his pizza game is where it's at. He does, like, home-fired pizzas, and he does his own crust, and he experiments with, like, his flours.
Yeah, if you ever need an unlicensed cater for one of your parties,
real good.
We can hook you up. We'll trade you for wine.
So he's a hairdresser as well.
Give me a card.
Actually,
one of the guys that helps me out for events, he's a super duper good cook, so he helps me out for.
I'm gonna put my number because
if you call him, he'll hang up on you.
Yeah. That's the barbecue guy.
However, my mom and I can be paid in wine for his service. But no, he really he does pizza.
He does pizza and
his
ribs.
He does it in a smoker.
So and he has three of them, so.
Yeah. But yeah, he's working on getting a pizza oven built. But I feel like his ribs and steaks are probably my favorites.
Yeah.
Especially his ribs. Like, he made ribs last night, and I almost stayed in
Kansas. His ribs are really good because they're very consistent. I think Eric occasionally surpasses his ribs, but Eric's are not consistent. Because Eric's like, I think I'll do this time, and then this.
No. Kurt's
but
been
I
making
they're
really
both good
ribs.
And
they're
that's
both good.
That's the thing that's debilitating about our barbecue scene here is like everybody's doing great at home, but like
I've had clients ask me like, if I paid your dad, would he make me a tri-tip for dinner? And he'll be like,
he should stop doing hair.
Okay, so my mom met with the people at Green Mountain Grills to sell them.
He was gonna do the.
And well, we had him set up to like cook. Cause like, I don't know if you're familiar with the Green Mountain Grill smokers, but they're awesome.
Right next to FedEx.
Yeah. But so my dad, like, that's one of his favorites to use because it syncs with his phone and all this stuff. So my Which mom is funny because
he's
like,
not into technology. No,
but they sell them at the most random places. So my mom's like, why don't we sell them? And then your dad can like use it on the porch so people smell it and then they buy them. And my dad's like, so I have to cut hair and smoke sausage? And I'm like, yeah. He was not into it.
He wasn't into it?
No, he was real hesitant.
It's a good idea though, because you guys could like serve wine bites with, you know, like sausage
Listen,
and wine.
I know.
And Petite Syrah. Oh, this smells really good.
So this
smells
is a 2013, amazing. Like I was saying,
it's like mocha. I'm getting a little bit.
Super hot, so a little bit higher in alcohol, a little higher in acidity. It is light enough to drink on its own. Mm-hmm. But for me, this is an ultimate state wine. And get a little bit of tartness from the acid. So,
Especially if you did like a coffee rub, because I not so much on the palate, but on the nose, I smell like a little bit of mocha on it. Mm-hmm. Do you like a coffee rub on a steak? That is really
this
nice.
This will go great with it.
That's really good.
Yeah, and we are running a little bit low on that. We'll be releasing our 2014, I believe, here pretty quick.
I feel like you guys are a hidden gem.
Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed everything that you've poured for us.
I've actually liked everything, not just saying I liked everything.
Well, we like drinking. So.
Normally we say we like it, and then in the car we're like, we didn't like that.
But you know, I try to be like as nice as I can be, but I don't even have to try.
No, it's so good.
Yeah, nothing, definitely nothing off-putting about it, any of Louis' wines. Like, in Oregon, like, that's kind of, like, they sort of, I think they get a little too much recognition for their Pinot. Like, the more wine I drink, the less I like Pinot, to be honest. But they do have some excellent examples, but a lot of the tasting rooms that I went to up there, they would have, like, a $10 or $15 bottle, not to be a wine snob, but severely flawed, like almost undrinkable, pretty much undrinkable, you know.
But we could sell it for $10 or $15.
So. Oh, it's $10. There you go. Like, and then they would have some decent ones at about the $20 to $30 range, and then they would have something that's outstanding, and they want like $60 to $80 for it, and it's like, where are we on the $15?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, not that this isn't good, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that one was exceptionally delicious.
Yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed that a lot.
Pretty good all the way through. I do have a late harvest Zinfandel if you like sweet wine at all. If you'd like to revisit anything.
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good too.
Welcome back, guys. I sincerely hoped you enjoyed that as much as I did.
Yeah, it was great.
This place is a hidden gem. Like, no joke, I'm blown away right now.
Yeah, I think we've said this before, like, hidden gem. But
No. The
this
only
is a
with
real...
Autry Cellars.
Yeah.
And that was another hidden gem.
It was another hidden
but
gem.
This
but this is a, another...
This is a diamond, not a sapphire.
Yeah.
I can't, like, I don't have the words for how great this place was. Like, they $30 mm-hmm. a bottle mm-hmm. is such a great price and worth way more than that.
Yeah. No.
I
All liked, of their bottles averaged at $30.
Yeah, I think everyone said $30.
Yeah.
And, like, every single wine we tasted was good. Mm-hmm. Every single one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, there have been a limited number of wineries that have actually... Okay. All of the ones we've had on the podcast have been great, and they have
so
accommodated
nice.
Us. And some of them have just been tasting rooms and not actually wineries.
Yeah.
But of the wineries that we have gone to, this was one of the few that has taken us through the whole process. Like, he showed us their bottling line. He showed us their crush pad.
I'm sorry we didn't record that. Like, I wasn't expecting what we got.
Right.
We got to taste Chardonnay.
From the tank.
Like,
you guys.
And it was delicious.
It was so good.
I want a bottle of that
Half
already.
Fermented wine. Give it to me.
I'm blown away. The wine was delicious. The location, maybe not the most convenient, but not, like, I'm going to time in how long it takes us to get home and we'll go from there. But
because we're actually, we can see the 101 from here, but it's more of a San Miguel location than a East Paso location.
But, like, it's beautiful. Such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hang out with him.
So cool.
Let me know when you want to go wine tasting.
Very great. We enjoyed it.
Great dog. Yeah. Which we got from the get-go.
Phoebe. She's cute.
No, I just, like, I feel like I don't have enough good things to say because I liked everything. I liked the wine. Mm-hmm. I liked the prices. I liked the people. They're doing live music during the summer. Mm-hmm. Barbecues.
For like, the pickup parties. I will say, constructive criticism. He did say at the beginning, we are known for our red wines. Mm-hmm. And all of the red wines I enjoyed. The rosé, I was not crazy about.
I felt like
it was interesting, but I was not crazy about it.
I felt like the rosé was good. It wasn't. I feel like after going to Close Salon and having their rosé, like the bar's really high for rosé. However, I would buy that rosé at the store just because the bottle was pretty.
Oh yeah, it was very.
It
pretty.
Looks like lace.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous bottle.
And it was good. It wasn't.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad at all. Like it just it. The thing is
not
like,
my favorite rosé.
I feel like my rosé bar has gotten really high. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yes, no, it's not at the very top of my list for rosés, but it was good. But their wine, I felt all
their
around
red wines,
it was good.
Amazing.
I'm like, I cannot wait to come back and try the Chardonnay.
Yeah, the Chardonnay was really good. Yeah, we didn't get to try any other white wine.
They're sold out. Good for them.
They are sold out, which I think attests to how good they must be. But we will come back. For this episode, though, I think that you guys got a good taste of what is going on here at Locatelli.
I hope you come.
Yeah.
Like, I feel sad in my heart that I did not know about this place for so long.
It's great. We need to East Paso more
often. We really do. Maybe that's like, maybe from now on, like for the next few episodes, let's East Paso.
Anyway, it was great.
It was awesome.
So come check it out. And also check out our social media while you're at it. Connect with us, check out our podcast, which you are probably doing if you're listening to this.
Yes.
So share it with other people, leave us a 5-star review, subscribe. That's a key component there.
Yeah.
And then after you connect with us, let us know where you want us to go.
Because if you know of any hidden gems, tell us, because
diamonds in the rough.
We are learning about all these great new places that we had no idea existed.
We thought we knew it all. We don't.
That's not a surprise. But here's the thing. Like, it's not surprising that we thought we knew it all, but it's really not surprising that we don't.
Extra not surprising that we don't.
Not even a little bit.
And the places we thought were great, maybe not so great now.
Right? I feel like I feel like in the last month and a half, I need to go home and reevaluate what I think is great.
Man, we have to reevaluate our choices.
Maybe we need like a wine retreat.
Okay. You guys, we're going to keep finding hidden gems like this. Yes. So without your help or with it,
we're
going to do it.
We're doing it either way. We just hope that you're into the journey with us.
We do. So contact us, info@centralcoastuncorked.com, or just shoot us a DM on social media, either Instagram or Facebook. We will see you next week.
Yeah, have a great week.
We
Hopefully
love you.
As good as ours.
Go wine tasting. Have fun.
She only says that because this is our third stop.
I'm drunk. Bye.
Bye.